A few years ago, one of the kids in my online coaching program said to me, "Coach Rebecca, I wish we could just go to a gym and have you as our coach. We would all be so happy and so confident." And that warmed my heart, and I was like, oh my gosh, that would be the best. And that comment stuck with me for years. So now I'm going to do something about it. I am inviting gymnasts from all over the country to join me for the first ever Confident Gymnast Camp this August 3rd and 4th. This camp is all about breaking through mental blocks. So if you're struggling with a skill and you want me and my team to help you break through in real time, then check out confidentgymnast.com for details. Hi guys, on today's podcast, I am starting into day one of a four-part series on parenting through mental blocks. So today is all about how Simone Biles overcame her mental block, not once, not twice, but multiple times, and how you can help your athlete keep from backsliding. So the first part of our four-part series, I'm going to be talking about what caused Simone's mental block, how she got through it each time, and the missing piece of the puzzle that causes backslides. So tune in for today's, and then hopefully you will be able to follow on for days 2, 3, and 4. All right, let's do it. Welcome to the Perform Happy Podcast, where athletes and their support squad come to learn the secret weapon for sports success. I'm your host, Rebecca Smith. First, I was a scaredy cat gymnast, then a coach. Now I'm a sports psychology expert and a parent. Athletes, whether you're feeling stuck or you're having the best season of your life, I'm here to help you reach peak performance and maximum enjoyment. Everybody, it's me, Coach Rebecca. Welcome to day one of our training series all about how to parent an athlete with a mental block. So if you are one of those parents who is struggling with an athlete that is very physically capable, but for some reason they can't tumble backwards or they've lost a certain skill on an event that you know they're physically capable of doing, then this is for you. I'm really excited to kick off this training today with a little talking about Simone Biles because, you know, she's the greatest of all time and she famously struggles with mental blocks. So I thought, you know, right out of the gates, I'm going to bring her in as an example so I can talk you through her story of working through mental blocks a couple of different times and what she learned about herself during that process, which is going to help you to figure out what might be causing your mental block or your athlete's mental block and why you might keep noticing backslides. So let's dive right in. And of course, I'm on live here right now. So if you're live with us, feel free to put questions in, to ask questions in the comment section. If you're on the replay, just go ahead and put in replay so that you'll still be able to participate and then you can ask questions. I'm still going to be checking in there as well, but let's get going. So mental blocks literally happen to the best of us because Simone Biles is the greatest gymnast of all time and she struggled with mental blocks. Now, something I've also learned in the last 8 years of working directly in the trenches with the kids that are struggling with this exact thing is that I have yet to meet a high-level gymnast who has never struggled with a mental block. I have interviewed Olympians, world champions. I have worked with kids age 7, level 7, to age 22, level 7. Every single one of them at some point experiences this thing that happens when the mind and body don't seem to be playing well together. The body is capable, but the mind is stopping the body from going. What this looked like for me when I was a gymnast was I would get up on the beam, I would put my arms up in the air, I'd be ready to go for my back series, I would get ready, and then it was like there was this brick wall behind me, or like I was stepping off a step that wasn't there. It's like that jolting, thudding feeling. That was like, whoa, I can't do it. I physically could not do it, even though I had already won beam with that series. It didn't make any sense rationally.
So for those of you who are struggling, it's not rational, but it's real. It is very real and it's very frustrating. So let's just get into Simone's story. So I'm going to take us back to 2013 at the US Classic, where Simone Biles was 15 years old, I believe, and she lost control on beam. She fell on floor and her coach, Amy Borman, pulled her and said, "You are not vaulting. We are done." She pulled her out of the meet because she was unpredictable. She was losing her air sense. She was scaring Amy and she was like, "Nope, I am not letting you go out there and hurt yourself." Okay, so that was kind of the first documented high profile moment of Simone's struggle. So you may not even have heard of that. Then, you know, you may also not have heard about 2 weeks before the Rio Olympics in 2016, the twisties emerged. She wasn't able to get control of herself in the air. And fortunately, this was 2 weeks before. She and her coach worked together. They rebuilt confidence. And then she was back in action by the time she went to Rio and cleaned up and was incredible. Then she shows up at Tokyo and she's doing well. And then things start to get off. That same familiar feeling where she has sort of lost her ability to sense herself in the air. And I hear kids saying that they forgot how to do it, or they didn't know where they were, or they didn't know how to do it. And these are skills that they've done, but their brain had some crazy reaction that's making it so that they don't know what they're doing. So then again, Simone stepped out of that Olympic competition, pulled out of 5 finals because it was back, caused all this uproar and judgment. And it just shows, you know, the culture of all or nothing. Black and white. You're either the best or you're the worst. And I saw that happen and went, yes, finally, somebody in this sport at the high level is putting their mental health first and protecting their physical safety as a result. Then we get to see her in her comeback. And I'm in the Bay Area, so I get to go to championships this coming Friday to see her in action. And so I think like the biggest thing that I took away from her whole story is that I always thought the reason I had mental blocks was because I was not talented enough. I was the head case of the team. I didn't have what it took. I just wasn't good enough. And that's why I got scared. Well, are we going to try and say that Simone Biles is not talented enough? No, it's something entirely different. So talent has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with how well you perform or how far you go in your sport, honestly, because of things like this. So then here's the good news. For Simone, she was twisting perfectly within a few weeks after she came back from Tokyo. Okay. In Rio, it took 2 weeks and then she was back in action. In 2013, it took her a couple of weeks and she was back out there winning on the international level. So this is not a death sentence. Now, Simone, she's very good at being comfortable, being uncomfortable. That is what makes a champion a champion. But she has had to balance good discomfort and bad discomfort. For example, I think athletes, a lot of us know the difference between good pain and bad pain, right? Good pain is like, oh, my core is so sore from that really hard conditioning set yesterday. I will not be able to do a sit-up for 3 days. That was so much hard work, and this is going to make me stronger. Then there's the, I just rolled my ankle, and that's not good pain. You know, if a coach is like, it's fine, get out there. No, that's different from being sore. The same goes with mental and emotional discomfort. There's a certain amount of mental and emotional discomfort that is very productive and necessary. When we get out there, we parents, and we're like, I don't want to go to exercise class today. Oh, and it just feels awful. And you don't want to do it, and you do it. That is the discomfort that will take you everywhere in this life. Then there's the discomfort of my brain and body are shutting down because of an abusive coaching environment, or because of repressed emotions that I haven't felt. that is like alarm bells, and we want to really address that. So there's a balance. And I think for Simone, she's sort of pushed herself through a lot of the hard stuff. She herself will say she repressed a lot of stuff. She didn't deal with her mental health. She just wanted to be a great gymnast. She didn't want to deal with that stuff down below, but she had to in order to fully and finally be free of this. So what caused it? I mean, she'll say herself, the stress, the anxiety, the buildup to the Olympics, being the greatest of all time, that's so much pressure. Most of the kids that come to us for coaching, you know, in competition season are coming off of a great season. They came off a great season. There was all this pressure. They got moved up through the levels, and then they're feeling the weight of it. And all of a sudden, their bodies are not responding the way that they thought they should or would. So if you are not facing your mental health issues head on, it's something that it's not a matter of if, it's when. When will this happen? And like I said, every single gymnast struggles with this phenomenon at one time or another. One of my favorite exercises when I work with gyms, either on Zoom or in person, is to have kids all stand up and kind of line up on either side of the floor and take a step forward. You know, if you have a sister, take a step forward. If you are from Kentucky, take a step forward. And we just sort of do like, and then increasingly more sort of intimate, like trust gaining topics. And I say, take a step forward if you've ever experienced a fear or a mental block. Every single person, every single time will step forward. So those of you who think you're the only one, you're not the only one. And there is so much hope. So, okay. So here's what Simone did to get through. She went back to basics. Right before Rio, she went back and her coach had her working whatever she could do. And this is the first thing I do with kids I work with. Start with what you can do. If you can't do the double-double, can you do a full in? If you can't do the back handspring on the high beam, can you do it on the low beam? Can you do it with panel mats? What can you do? So she would go back and find the hardest progression she could do confidently. And that's key, you guys, because we want that good discomfort, not the bad discomfort of I'm completely terrified. I think I might die, but I have to do this or I'm going to be in trouble. Not that discomfort. I'm talking about what can I do that's going to stretch my comfort zone, but I'm going to be successful. So that's where she went, and she worked and she worked and she did numbers and she did reps. And you have to stay very present during this process. You can't be in the, am I there yet? Am I there yet? I'm not going to get there in time. You can't think about time. You have to be in every single individual progression. So when she came back from Tokyo, her coach Laurent had her go back to trampoline and do a single twist, not a double twist. So they had her back it up. And then when you start to feel yourself being successful again at these easier progressions, your brain and your body start to reconnect around self-trust. Okay, so that physical part is pretty simple. It's not necessarily intuitive. A lot of coaches and a lot of athletes really want to rush that process. They want to go, okay, I was doing it 2 weeks ago. I need to be doing it now. So I'm going to rush to that high beam. Oh, it didn't work. And then that resets them. So they're doing this two steps forward, two steps back thing, or two steps forward, three steps back thing because they're rushing. So the not intuitive part is that you actually need to go slow, systematically desensitize. You have to slowly work through and find that right level of good discomfort to allow your muscle memory and your self-trust to come back together. If you're trying to trick yourself, and I love, there was a sweet mom who I've been in the DMs with this week, and she's like, I just want to help her figure out how to trick her brain into just going for it. And I think this is one of the biggest misconceptions in sports psychology, especially in gymnastics. There are professionals out there that will sell you a method to trick you into doing the skill. This is a band-aid. If you can trick yourself into doing the skill, you are not building self-trust, which is the actual thing you have to have. That's the ultimate finish line, is to be able to get out there and trust yourself again. Tricking yourself is not causing trust. It's actually eroding the trust. So if you want to get beyond the physical part, there's more to it. So yeah, anybody can get out there, work slow, do the progressions, baby steps, communicate, go through this not totally intuitive process, but very simple and straightforward process. But a mental block is like a domino effect. No matter where your physical ability is, if your mental health is not in place as well, there's going to always be this, oh gosh, is it going to happen again? When's the other shoe going to drop? You get your skill back and then you go, oh, is it going to stick this time? And parents are kind of cringing from the stands and they just don't, they're like, I can't watch. Oh gosh, they're just terrified the whole time that that fear is going to come back. So the things that start the domino effect of the mental block are mental health issues, negativity, depression, anxiety. Post-COVID, adolescents had an increase by 25% of anxiety and depression. So it's extremely common, unfortunately, among these young people that they're sad, they're isolated, they're anxious. This is like, you know, clinical levels of these mental health diagnoses went up by 25%. So they're definitely not alone. And there's just a lot of hard stuff on these kids' shoulders. Stress, pressure, self-consciousness, worry. All of these things are natural parts of being a teenager or an adolescent. And these are the types of things that cause tension in the body because the brain is in self-protective mode. It's like, why? Well, what's happening? There's threats everywhere. The threat of failure, the threat of disappointment, the threat of letting somebody down, the threat of not looking good, not being liked, being left behind. All of those threats hit the human brain like a threat of a forest fire. The brain doesn't know the difference. So it tenses up. And then the athlete goes to try a skill and they can't do it. And it feels weird or it feels off or it feels scary because they got all of this other stuff. Their brain is in survival mode. So if you don't heal the relationship with yourself and with your fears, you're going to always be in that rebuilding cycle, that Groundhog Day cycle of back to low beam, back to low beam. So no matter how many times you have rebuilt confidence physically, if you don't heal that relationship with yourself, you will keep backsliding. So something Simone learned early on, right away in 2013, her team kind of went into crisis mode and we're like, we're going to get this kid some mental health help. And she learned how to work with those expectations to start to let go of other people's expectations. She learned how to find her joy, that smile you see her. When you watch videos of her in like 2013, 14, 15, 16, she is smiling from ear to ear when she is doing floor. You see her and you're like, wow, she's fun to watch. And you can tell she's having fun. That's deliberate. That's part of her strategy. But it's just the tip of the iceberg to have a strategy that's going to help you do the skills. You have to address the actual problem, which is those deep set beliefs and the mindset. And this mindset, you know, involves perfectionism, a fixed mindset where you believe that talent is what's driving you forward. You're extremely hard on yourself. You have high expectations and you have high perceived expectations from others. You are very kind and supportive to your teammates, but you are extremely negative and hard on yourself. You're the kid who's always smiling to others, but you're the kid who's also being really unkind to yourself the whole time. I know these things because I am you, if you're out there listening, athletes. So something that Simone has learned in her last round of coming back is that she said she never truly believed she was more than her gymnastics accomplishments until she got all of the love after she withdrew. And people thanked her for standing up for mental health. They thanked her for being in integrity. They thanked her for putting her health and safety first, for modeling a better sport for kids. We parents, I want my kid to pull out if they're not going to be safe. 100% unquestionably, I want my kid to say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to compete in the Olympics because I don't want to hurt myself. I would stand behind that 1,000,000%. Okay. So then Simone went on in an interview with Self Magazine to say, I try to be strong, not only for other people, but also myself. But sometimes there are weaknesses and strength, and that's okay. She said, it's okay not to be okay. And I've taught myself that. And I've learned so much about myself through this journey. I wouldn't change anything for the world. I think everything happens for a reason. And this kind of ties into my feeling that mental blocks are a blessing. And this is No, in the moment, it does not feel like a blessing. It feels like your world is coming crashing down. It literally killed my gymnastics career. But for the kids that have these struggles, they are so motivated because they love their sport so much that they are willing to learn how to be kind to themselves. They're willing to learn how to be patient, how to be optimistic, how to be great communicators, how to get out of their comfort zone. They're willing to learn how to deal with the hard stuff and the scary stuff in life that makes it so that they do not quit. They don't cut and run when they're grownups. They know how to deal. So those mindsets and beliefs that keep kids stuck often are modeled by their parents. Eek. Anybody, is that striking a chord with anybody? You know, that perfectionism, that sensitivity, that wanting, that all or nothing thinking. So I'm going to talk tomorrow about the specific do's and don'ts for sport parents if your kid's struggling with fear. So that's going to help you to know what you can stop doing, what you can start doing, and how to make the biggest difference you can for your kid. Wednesday, we're going into the one thing you need to have in place in order to break through for good and stop those backslides. And then Thursday, the most important wrap-up training where I'm going to teach you the entire mental block breakthrough method. That one is going to be hosted over on Webinar Jam. So there's a separate link, which if you're registered for this training series, you'll get that link emailed to you. So if you haven't already registered, make sure to do that at completeperformancecoaching.com/August, the month that we are in. And I will see you again tomorrow. Be sure to put those questions in that chat box so that I can come through and answer them. And then I can make sure to give you what you're looking for this week. All right, I'll see you soon. Bye. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode of the Perform Happy Podcast. If you're ready to unlock your maximum sport potential, head over to performhappy.com and join us. You'll be training alongside world champion athletes and Olympic hopefuls. And I will personally take you through my research-based system for overcoming fear and mental blocks, building confidence, and finding your flow. I'm Coach Rebecca Smith, and I'll see you next time.